What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Hello, hi, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And this time it's official.
We really mean it.
Yes, we really mean it this time. The Lady Claire is here, as you can see on Bamuser. And in response to numerous email demands, I've repositioned the camera so that Claire is more readily visible and easy to see. And I will just hide my face.
Oh, stop it.
Those
don't
of you
go
who
there.
Think she's much prettier than I am, which I think she's prettier than I am. What's first thing on your story list?
Well, I don't know about the rest of the people out there, but Mike, do you remember that archetypal dream about two freight trains coming at each other in slow motion, and you see what's going to happen, and you can't inform them until it's way too late?
Well, I've seen old silent movies where they did that as a stunt with surplus locomotives and everything. It was very popular entertainment.
But
it's an archetypal dream. You can see what's coming on, and you know it's going to be bad, and you can't do a thing to stop it.
Yeah, that's sort of where I am, and I'm officially annoyed and terrified at both U.S. foreign and domestic policy, and I'd like to start off with something that some of you who travel need to know. Some U.S. airlines are testing mandatory facial recognition scans on Americans flying abroad. This isn't about foreign people coming in or leaving. This is about you and me, folks. Just when you thought air travel couldn't get any more invasive, authoritarian, and downright miserable, the Department of Homeland Security and two U.S. carriers are determined to prove you wrong. Yesterday, Harrison Rudolph, a law fellow at the Center on Privacy and Technology at Georgetown Law, wrote a troubling article for Slate titled, DHS is starting to scan Americans' faces before they get on international flights. And this is what they learned. Decades ago, Congress mandated that federal authorities keep track of foreign, let me repeat that word one more time, foreign nationals as they enter and leave the United States. If the United States could record when every visitor stepped on or off U.S. soil, so the thinking went, it could easily see whether a foreign national had overstayed a visa. But in June of last year, without any congressional authorization and without consulting the public, the Department of Homeland Security started scanning the faces of Americans leaving the country, too. And let me tell you, when I was a kid, my late dad was an aircraft instrument mechanic, very conscientious. And I thought, because I thought everyone else who worked on aircraft the way he did as a mechanic was just that diligent. I used to love to fly. Now I feel like I'm being treated like livestock, poked, prodded, groped, and screened at by the near moronic maniacs at the TSA. That's made me absolutely hate flying.
Okay, before we take our next story, I mean, we all know what this is really all about. It's bigger budget for Department of Homeland Security, pork barrel money for favored contractors. Mm-hmm. But what is the justification for scanning the faces of Americans who are leaving the country?
It's to create a national biometric database. That's where that's all going.
Well, they've never been able to really make the biometrics work. In fact, to my knowledge, there's only ever actually been one success story. Of actually getting a genuine arrest off a biometric database versus literally thousands and thousands of false positives. And again, somebody who's concerned about having their face scanned, they can change their facial hair and they can do whatever. I mean, somebody who's lost a lot of weight like me, my face looks very, very different than it did in when we did that 10th anniversary of 9/11 in New York.
Yeah.
I look like a completely different person now.
Yeah. So, you know, I hate to fly anymore. It's really unfortunate.
I used to love to fly, and same thing with TSA. And ever since TSA has come along, tourism here in Hawaii has just been hammered. And our local tourism board likes to brag that our hotels have an 80% occupancy rate. And what they don't talk about are all the hotels that have gone out of business, closed down, especially on the leeward side. You will see these giant resorts boarded up, golf courses gone back to nature, and they don't even know what they can do with all that real estate. Nobody willing to go on out and spend money there because People are going to other countries right now for vacations.
Yeah. The next thing I'd like to talk about is the potential passing of the Pelosi era.
Well, there's a positive note to end the show on.
Yes. Well, you know, it looks that with these two Republican wins in the Carolinas and also in Georgia, Democrats are looking to their leadership and saying, okay, what did we not get? You know, and unfortunately, the focus on the anti-Trump situation
has backfired
in their faces big time. And someone, you know, Kamala Harris, who is now in the Senate, she'd better slow down and take a look at what's going on and see about rearranging the deck chairs here, because it looks like Pelosi just can't cut it anymore. And the way that she's been speaking recently has been very confused, slurred, and not focused and to the point.
I think there's mental deterioration there. And we're going to do a quick shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network.
Okay. I hope that the Democratic leadership maybe takes responsibility for its failures and learns from them. I'm not sure it's going to, but I would love for that to happen.
No, it's already started. We covered that a little bit earlier. There's a group of Democrats at a closed-door meeting. They think it's time for Nancy Pelosi to stop being the House Minority Leader and just sort of fade into the corners, because she's making the entire party look bad. And again, the Democratic Party is badly split between the hardcore Hillary supporters who think that politics are all about identity politics and playing the woman card and the gay card and the rest of it, versus the true progressives who are still tending to center around Bernie Sanders. Pelosi is still trying to keep the Democratic Party in that same mold that has led to all these electoral disasters, and they do want her out.
Yeah. And she doesn't see it. She doesn't see it at all.
Nope.
I'd like to spend a little bit of time regarding Saudi Arabia. As most people know, there was a soft coup, if you will, with a change in the prince who will now be governing the country. And the new crown prince is known to be a little bit unpredictable. And he also was the author of an IPO, which is a signature initiative of his. He hopes to sell off 5% of Aramco, which is the Arabian oil company, which he argues could raise around $100 billion. I don't know if it's quite that much. But in order to finance what he calls his Vision 2030, which calls for a diversification in the Saudi economy.
Well, actually, that's a very smart thing for him to do.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia has been dealing with the reality for quite some time, that the oil is going to run out at some point.
Yeah.
And they have been trying to diversify. One of the reasons they're building these beautiful cities, they're building them as banking centers. Mm-hmm. And as the oil money runs on out, they want to switch over to more of an American model of a country that doesn't actually produce anything but makes money off of other people's money.
Services, in essence.
And so diversification of any economy is always going to be a really good idea. If you're a single crop nation, the loss of that crop can be the loss of the nation itself.
Unfortunately, one thing that many oil analysts have been saying about this guy is that his ascent to power means that it's not a question of if, but when Saudi Arabia and Iran are going to be at war inevitably. But in light of the fact that President Trump has recently visited Riyadh and essentially put his hat in with the House of Saud, I think this is probably something that's going to happen.
And it will seriously disrupt the flow of oil from that part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple more things about Saudi Arabia. I just felt it was kind of important to put this all together. From globalresearch.ca, which is a very sober Canadian blog, which I like to link to frequently. And there was an article there today, Saudi Arabia versus Qatar, Middle East controlled demolition plan. And it is saying that Prince bin Salman getting control over the Saudi kingdom's government is a sign that the Saudi hardliners, vis-a-vis the crisis they have created with Qatar, have won the prelude of the battle. Saudi Arabia's Minister of Defense, bin Salman, was the architect of this horrific war, which still goes on after 2 years in Yemen, which was until the split between the two nations included, which included Qatar. And what happened to the beautiful relationship between the Saudi and Qatari rulers? Its apex was the sponsorship of jihadis, first to topple Gaddafi in Libya, and their ultimate collaborative proxy terrorism accomplishment was the creation of ISIS to wreck Iraq and to topple Bashar al-Assad in Syria.
That's not working
too well. Not working terribly well at all. Now, there is a context of timing, and I don't think the excrement is about to hit the fan more quickly than this. But Saudi Arabia has just given Qatar 10 days to accede to its demands as of today's date. These included closing down Al Jazeera, and I have really appreciated Al Jazeera America, and to cut ties with Iran. Counting forward from today, this gives Qatar until the end of Sunday to July to comply.
July 2nd. Yes,
July 2nd. My best bet, and Mike, I'd like your commentary on this, is that Saudi Arabia may well move against Qatar militarily on or about the 4th of July, because Americans are going to be distracted with Independence Day holiday activities and won't be paying much attention.
That does make a lot of sense. Yeah. Does make a lot of sense.
But the question I have to ask, and I'm very interested in your feedback on this, what standing orders do you think U.S. commanders over those 10,000 troops stationed in Qatar have been given if, in fact, this happens?
Well, Saudi Arabia is not going to attack the U.S. forces. We may very well see the U.S. forces join the Saudis attacking Qatar from within. Mm. Frankly, if I were the government of Qatar right now, I would be asking those U.S. forces to leave.
Yeah. And Turkey's already on the ground in Qatar and doing exercises, about 3,000. And they have a base there, as you have mentioned, and they have essentially told the Saudi Arabians to pound sand on this issue of leaving that base.
And if it's one thing the Saudis have a lot of,
it's sand. Yes. I really think that if the Saudi government and this prince decide and have greenlit this attack, probably for the first full week in July, all heck is going to break loose.
Yeah, we all know a global war is coming.
Yeah.
And a regional war in the Middle East, maybe that stepping stone.
Yeah.
We know from General Wesley Clark that whatever the grand design of the U.S. government was, it was all supposed to be over in 2008.
Yep.
And the fact that it is now 2017 tells you that it's not really going all that well.
No, it's not. And I had to, amazingly enough, commend CNN for something they did. And the article, which was posted at antiwar.com, is "The Images Saudi Arabia Doesn't Want You to See." And I do commend CNN for having the, shall we say, male attributes to run it. And I would like our listeners and our viewers to please remember, the U.S. government is enabling the Saudi genocide of children in Yemen.
Well, actually, Saudi Arabia is working as the U.S. government's proxy in Yemen because the U.S. went into Yemen some years ago and had what was then termed a successful intervention where the democratically elected leader was kicked out and a U.S. puppet ruler was put in.
Right, al-Hadi.
Al-Hadi. Mm-hmm. And now the people of Yemen want their country back, and they're trying to kick the puppet out. And that's what Saudi Arabia is. Their job is to slap down the Yemenite people and say, you will love your U.S. puppet ruler.
Yeah. And I attached images of Yemeni children killed and maimed from Saudis' bombings. And because with military aid, the Saudis are blockading Yemeni ports, no food can get in. So children are dying from complications of malnutrition in the 21st century? Yeah. And because malnutrition causes the body to shut down and become more prone to a host of diseases, cholera is sweeping through Yemen as I speak to you right now.
Well, I wouldn't jump to conclusions that the cholera has arrived there naturally.
No, I wouldn't either. You know, Not that it has necessarily been weaponized as far as my research has shown, but it has been used in water in African battles over Rhodesia many years ago.
Yes.
Oh, and did I mention that the Saudis are using banned depleted uranium weapons in Yemen?
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, and the DU weapons are having precisely the same effect on Yemeni children as it had on the children in Fallujah and our service members who did come home, had families, and the families were terribly deformed and destroyed. Stillbirths, cancers, and massive deformities are now the new normal for Yemeni babies. Now, I frankly can't think of much more horrific form of child abuse than poisoning a child in the womb through exposure to depleted uranium weapons. And you know, Mike, as I was putting together this little section on Saudi Arabia, I had to think that when you assassinate children, you assassinate the future of the country those kids come from. And this is precisely what the Saudi military, enabled by the U.S. military, is doing in Yemen. And please remember, this is being done with your tax dollars and in your name.
Well, no, it's being done in Saudi Arabia's name, but we know who Saudi Arabia is really working for.
We know, yeah, we know. Going over to the economy, McDonald's is replacing 2,500 human cashiers with digital kiosks. And apparently McDonald's stock is just on the ascendant. It's up 26% year-to-date, oblivious to the carnage among the broader restaurant and fast food sector, which is struggling. There is a reason for Wall Street's euphoria, the same one discussed in January in Dear Bernie, Meet the Big Mac ATM that will replace all of your 15-hour fast food workers. And they lay out the math in this, and fast food workers are going to become completely obsolete. And this is a game changer for the economics of the fast food industry. But what about the people, Mike, the kiosks are replacing?
They're going to join the ranks of the unemployed. I mean, the more, you know, we're seeing here a repeat of the offshoring debacle.
Yeah.
Where the first companies that offshored to lower their manufacturing costs got these incredible profits.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody said, oh, we're all going to do this. And they all offshored, and all of a sudden, business fell off.
Yeah.
Because your employees collectively are your customers collectively.
Yeah.
And if they've all lost their jobs because their jobs have gone overseas, they don't have the money to go into the restaurants, to go into the car dealerships, to go into the shopping malls. And we're seeing it now. There have been like 5,000 store closings in the retail sector this year alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a $3.8 trillion bubble in commercial real estate loans
mm-hmm.
that is getting ready to explode because of all these stores that are closing and going out of business.
Retail-mageddon. Yep.
And having learned nothing at all from that, we're now seeing a repeat where the first companies to go in with this automation, and we're going to replace, we're going to have automated checkout instead of live cashiers. We're going to have more ATMs and less human tellers, and we're going to have digital kiosks instead of the people at the counter. And in one case, there is an entire restaurant that is all robotic, including the food preparation in the kitchen. And they're going to make a bunch of money. And then everyone's going to say, oh, we're going to automate. And we're going to have a repeat of that disaster where nobody is actually going to have any money to spend.
Yep.
And so we're turning into a country that are going to have factories, restaurants, shopping mall stores staffed with robots standing around with nothing to do because there are no human customers coming on in to spend money.
Because they have none.
They have none.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it seems like something that is going to be a game changer, and I think it will for a while, but I think we're going to be looking at another bubble when all of these people who are unemployed can't find work.
It's going to look good for 6 months, maybe a year.
Yeah.
And then after that, the back end is going to kick in, and it will be a repeat of the debacle of offshoring. I mean, we have over 100 million people in this country willing and able to work who have not been able to find jobs for years. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And Lady Claire, what is your next story?
The next story I read with a little bit of irony. The Senate has announced a probe of Loretta Lynch behavior in the 2016 election.
Yeah, see, that whole thing about obstruction of justice, they were trying to hit against Trump. It's now backfired and backflashed.
Yeah. In a letter to Ms. Lynch, the committee asked her to detail the depths of her involvement in the FBI's investigation, including whether she ever assured Clinton confidants that the probe wouldn't push too deeply into the matter. Fired FBI Director James Comey has said publicly that Ms. Lynch tried to shape the way he talked about the investigation into Mrs. Clinton's emails, and he also hinted at other behavior, which I can't talk about yet, he said, that made him worried about Ms. Lynch's ability to make impartial decisions. Now, Mike.
Imagine my shock.
Yeah, and surprise. Now, here's the deal. She is not going to explain anything to them. Even if she is subpoenaed, she may well not respond. And if I were Charles Grassley, who's heading up this committee right now, I would be preventing her from leaving the country to go to another country that doesn't have an extradition treaty with the U.S.
That would certainly send a message to the public that, yes, there had been some skullduggery going on, and there would be a hue and cry saying, let's go back on in and investigate that email scandal again.
But, I mean, it's very ironic, and I wonder where she's going to wind up. Because she's not going to want to testify. She isn't going to want to go up against the Clintonistas.
She's not going to go up against the Clintonistas. She's going to go on in there, take the oath to tell the truth, and then she's going to try and lie her face off. And what the committee are going to have to do is actually catch her in a lie and then use it as a hammer to say, you can come clean or, we're going to hit you with perjury.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've got 2 cents and... all of our readers and listeners, I'm just betting my husband, a whole 2 cents, she does not respond to the subpoena.
All right. I'll
okay?
take that bet.
Deal?
Deal.
Deal. Okay. Let's go over to South Korea right
let's
now.
Let's not.
This is just metaphorically speaking, Mike.
Okay.
That way.
I'm not a big fan of kimchi.
South Korea does not
need...
Did
I tell you I'm writing a book on Korean cooking? It's called How to
Walk Your Dog. Yes,
Thank you
did.
For stepping all over the punchline.
I love you, dear.
All right.
South Korea does not need U.S. permission to engage in policy dialogue with North Korea, ROK presidential office has stated. South Korea or its head of state, Moon Jae-in, does not need permission from the United States president or anyone else to engage North Korea in dialogue, Seoul's presidential office, Chung Hwa-dae, said on Wednesday. Resumption of dialogue with North Korea may need to be pursued in close cooperation and consultation with the U.S., but South Korea does not need to be allowed by the U.S. to do so.
Well, I mean, there are 2 aspects here. First of all, he's actually correct.
Yeah.
The United States government has no authority regarding what any other 2 nations decide they want to talk about. And this gets into that issue of face. Which is so important in the Asian cultures.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But it's obvious that Moon Jae-in is moving forward with his declared agenda of calming things down between North and South Korea with the ultimate goal of eventual reunification.
Yeah, he's a sunshine policy advocate,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, it looks like he is developing some male attributes when dealing with President Trump in the U.S. and the issue of rapprochement with North Korea.
Well, I notice they're still not allowing the deployment of any more of those THAAD missiles.
And they only thought they were going to get one, right?
They thought they were going to get one.
Yeah.
But that was before President Moon Jae-in was elected.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, there are 2 deployed and like another half dozen ready to go, and he put his foot down.
Good for him.
Yes.
Good for him. He's developing a presence, and I wish him well, and I hope for the best in that situation.
Well, considering the spectacular flop of the test they had out here at Kauai.
Oops there.
This week.
Yeah.
It's leave the THAAD in its crate. It's not going to work anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, we got to take another break for commercials.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get Too. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And what do you have next on your list?
Well, I have an article by Stephen Lendman, who is a gentleman to whose work I link pretty consistently. He is a very fine, astute political observer. And what he's talking about in this article is that the U.S. is recklessly provoking Russia. And the second part of that title is the unthinkable could happen either by accident or design.
That's where they're obviously aimed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And it's painfully clear to me at this juncture that the American deep state is provoking Russia in every possible way as a prelude to a war against it.
Well, what's going on here is they're provoking Russia. They're trying to get Russia to make the first overt move, so that they can be demonized as the aggressors
the
and the bad guys.
Yeah, right.
Franklin Roosevelt did exactly the same thing.
With Japan.
Everybody knew war with Japan was coming,
mm-hmm.
and Roosevelt gave explicit orders to the Hawaii commanders. Mm-hmm. It is imperative that Japan be seen to make the first overt move.
Yeah.
And which is the main reason that Roosevelt didn't tell General Short or Admiral Kimmel that the fleet was on the way, the Japanese fleet. Okay.
I am very thoroughly appalled and disgusted at how intently President Trump has embraced war over true diplomacy in so many of the situations I am seeing developing, which will probably flare out of control.
And that is my biggest disappointment with Trump.
Yeah.
Because along with immigration and lock her up, mm-hmm. Trump campaigned on a promise of pulling back from all these foreign interventions,
mm-hmm.
and that promise has clearly gone out the window. Whether he's compromised by the deep state, mm-hmm. or he's been convinced that abandoning the war agenda will mean the immediate collapse of the U.S. economy and government, I don't know. But we're still heading in to a world war, and it's probably going to go nuclear, and we're going to see billions are going to die this time.
Yeah, you know. And in looking at the interweaving and intertanglement of all these issues, it's not a question to me of if, it's a question of when. And the only thing I think we can do right now, other than try to witness what is going on, as you and I do, is to counsel our readers and listeners to, if you haven't started, start prepping now. A very good place to start is the subscription to Daisy Luther's The Organic Prepper newsletter. Now, you're going to get some ads with that for goods and services that she has vetted. But I have found her information brilliantly and brutally astute when it comes to the difference between actually surviving or not surviving.
Well, you know the old joke. How do you tell a prepper? They're the ones not eating out of the trash dumpsters after a disaster.
Right, right, right.
And by the way, prepping is actually a lot more than just buying a bunch of emergency supplies and putting them in a closet.
Right.
It really is a lifestyle because you have to train to use the stuff. You have to mm-hmm. work with it. You have to keep an eye on it. And unfortunately, a lot of very unethical companies have jumped on the prepper bandwagon, if you will.
Yeah.
And they're selling some very cheaply made equipment and supplies, very poorly made, on the theory that in all probability they're never actually going to be used. And the issue is that if you go to actually use them mm-hmm. and they're not working, you're going to be in real trouble. So you have to really keep an eye out on who your supplier is. I remember one time when we were first starting to build up our hurricane kit, and we got this generator crank radio flashlight that was actually approved by the Red Cross mm-hmm. of America. We figured, okay, they've obviously decided this is a cool product. And so we bought it. And something like 6 months later, the plastic shell was literally turning into goo.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had this packed away in our hurricane kit. So, again, the problem is it's almost like exercise machines. Most exercise machines at the low end aren't designed to be used for all that long. They figure people give up hope, they get tired, and they put it back under the bed, and they never pull it out again. And the same thing with unethical companies producing prepper supplies. They're actually made poorer quality than the stuff that you would buy and use on a daily basis. And in many cases, buying something that you would use around the home on a daily basis actually makes a lot more sense than buying something that is specifically, say, this is for the prepper outfit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But if you haven't by now, please find the stores either online or in your area that you want to patronize. Find out what they have and do take care of yourselves out there. I'd like to hop over to an article that I read in Global Research, a Canadian outlet to which I link also very frequently. And the title of the article was U.S. Foreign Policy, Global Hegemony, Soft Power, and the Geopolitics of Eurasia. And it goes to a quote from Henry Kissinger, who was brilliant and vile all at the same time, who is brilliant and vile all at the same time. And he made the observation that a mortal danger for the U.S. is formation of any political military coalitions between the Euro-Asian great powers, primarily between Russia and China, as such coalitions would have a real capability to outstrip both the U.S. economy and military.
Well, they failed that policy. I mean, there was a concerted effort to try and turn Russia and China against each other, but they have moved very close together.
Yeah.
And if a global war comes, if a world war comes, it is going to be the United States against Russia and China and probably a bunch of other countries as well.
Yeah. Members of the BRIC organization and the SCO are changing the game, and quite concretely, the economic reforms in China and Russia, coupled with their moving to embrace Europe with trade in infrastructure like Xi Jinping's Silk Road project, where China pledged $124 billion, and that's with a B, for a new Silk Road as a champion of globalization, are leaving the unhinged, surveilled state of America in the dust. And this is why I believe we are hearing so much demonization of both countries, as though to prepare American citizens for war against them to stop the ascent of both the yuan and the ruble.
That's what this has been about all along, is returning the world to the days of Bretton Woods, when all countries had to go through the U.S. dollar to conduct cross-border trade and banking, off of which the Federal Reserve made a very handsome profit. And they missed their mafia-like piece of the action. They want to go back to those good old days where they didn't actually have to do anything. The money just poured on in.
Yeah. I'd like to go over to Israel because someone decided to play kind of a cruel joke on the Palestinian people. Book on Palestinian history becomes instant bestseller on Amazon. The author's argument that Palestinians are not a people because they are void of history isn't new. It's a mainstay of the Israeli right. And there is a book called A History of the Palestinian People from Ancient Times to the Modern Era that went on sale on Amazon last week and was the most sold book in the site's Israel and Palestine History category and the 543rd most sold book on the site. The pages for the book, however, contained 132 blank pages. As though there was no Palestinian history
whatsoever. That was
whatsoever.
The whole message.
That
there.
Was the message. Yeah. The author of this piece explained the motivations by writing it to a religious radio station, Kol Hai. The Palestinian people believe they are a people, and someone needs to tell them the truth, even if it hurts. Look what happens when they were given the feeling that they are a real people. And I hate what this guy's done. But I must mention, Mike, that in a very Orwellian manner, Vol understands that to control the future, one must be able to control the past, which in his case means to completely erase Palestinian history in what is now contemporary Israel and beyond.
Now, let's see. I've got a few things here in my hand I'm looking at. Mm. And let's see. This is a 50 mil coin. And it was minted in Palestine in very badly tarnished. I can't actually see the year, and I can't even get out of the plastic case.
Boy.
Let's see. I have here, this is minted in 1941 in Palestine, and it is a 2 mil coin. I have another 50 mil coin. This one's in better condition. Minted in Palestine in 1935. And let's see, and on and on and on. Listeners have been very kind to send me these coins here.
Yeah.
But it does hammer home the point. This idea that there never was a Palestine or a Palestinian people is absolutely absurd.
Yep.
And especially when you realize there really isn't such a thing as a Jewish people, because they're all genetically the descendants of other converts to the religion.
Like the Khazars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Ashkenazi Jews are, they don't have a unique genetic fingerprint. If you look at their DNA, you can see they originally came from the Khazars. The Sephardics actually descend from a blend of the Hebrew and the Berber. And so this idea that you're going to say that we are a people and you are not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more Israeli arrogance. You will recognize our state. We refuse to recognize your state.
Yeah.
And it is absurd. And again, I see a strong parallel between the blank pages of that book and this campaign in our country to tear down the Confederate flag and all the Confederate monuments And I'm getting ready for somebody to say, well, we don't need those old Confederate battlefields preserved. Mm-hmm. Let's turn them into golf courses or sell them to develop shopping malls and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It, when you take away or you try to erase the history of a people, that's a really bad thing because, again, when you take away the history, you take away their future.
Yes, you do.
You take away their cultural identity, and that is a really lousy thing to do.
Well, they're
to
trying to do it to all of us. The New World Order globalist people are doing exactly that.
Yeah.
Trying to take away our identity. They're trying to get us confused about who we are, what restroom we're supposed to use, because you're easier to control that way.
Yeah.
People with a strong sense of an identity are much harder to control. And, you know, Israel invests a tremendous amount in basically indoctrinating its people with that strong sense of identity going all the way back to Moses.
Yeah.
At the same time, they're out there saying, well, you don't have any real history, you Palestinians.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that the Israeli government likes to do is keep their people afraid.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Like our government isn't doing that?
Yep, our government is doing that pretty much all the time, too. It's a tactic. And you have to lift out of it enough to say, all right, am I really logically under this much threat? Am I really logically under this much threat?
Well, in the good old days before the internet and the independent media, when people had no choice but to look at the TV sets and read the newspapers, they say, oh, yes, we're under threat. We're under danger. And take it from me. I'm old enough to remember the original Red Scare of the 1950s and, and the first Cold War. And every day we were being told the commies were going to invade. They were going to force socialized medicine on us. They were going to do terrible things to our farm animals and all the rest of it. It never, ever happened. And meanwhile, at the same time, in the former Soviet Union, their government was telling their people, the American imperialists are coming for you.
Yeah.
They're going to come on in. They're going to take away the benefits of socialism and force you to buy new refrigerators and cars or whatever the threat.
Yeah.
And their people believed it. Oh, we're a terrible threat. And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It never, ever happened.
And, Michael, would you share again the law under the Soviet government about making stuff to last?
One of the propaganda tools that the U.S. used to use against the Soviet Union was that when you saw photos and films of life in the Soviet Union, everybody appeared to be driving much older cars inside their homes with much older appliances, and this was held off as proof of the poverty of the Russian people. But what was actually going on was Soviet law mandated high-quality products. So that when you bought a car, you had it for a very long time. If you bought a refrigerator, it would last a very long time. And so people would buy a refrigerator or a car or a stove or anything else. They didn't have a reason to buy a new one.
Yeah.
And you know, after 10, 20 years, it looks like it's an old antique. It's not because they're poor. It's because the appliances were built to last. And managers of factories who produced sub-quality products could find themselves over in the gulags. And it was actually one of the things they thought was going to help the lifestyle of their people, that they only have to buy certain things once, maybe twice in their life, and then they can go on and acquire other things, as opposed to the model under capitalism here in the U.S., where you are working yourself to death to buy the same things over and over and over again every few years.
Mike and I had a very interesting illustration of that recently. Our dishwasher went to dishwasher heaven. And we called, dutifully called Sears, had a very nice technician who came in, looked at it, and what he told us was that the part that was needed to replace it cost more than a low-cost dishwasher would.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's like, come on, guys.
And, you know, he showed us the inside. It's all corroded away. The gaskets are leaking.
Yeah.
And he was frankly amazed it was still working. But again, in this country, manufactured goods are designed and manufactured to wear out very quickly. New computer every 5 years, new cell phone every 3 years. In a healthy economy, when people have lots of disposable income, that business model can work. We're not there anymore.
No. And the other thing I asked when I was making the appointment to have our dishwasher looked at and serviced if possible was, how long is the guarantee for whatever parts might be needed to replace? And the person in customer service at the other end of the phone said, oh, for a whole 90 days, like, hello, 90 days, you've got to be kidding me.
The other illustration, our clothes dryer, the little belt that drives the drum around failed. And the repairman who came on out to replace that revealed to us that the replacement belt for that dryer is only half the thickness of the original, because they want them to fail on a regular basis to encourage you to buy a new dryer, something we are obviously not in a position to do. So, again, that's the difference between the Soviet and the capitalistic system. And the U.S. took all these photos of Soviets with long-lasting products, and they said, see, this proves how poor they are. They're not able to buy a new car every 5 years or a new television or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need to.
Yeah.
They didn't need to. So anyway, there's that. We're coming up now on a commercial break, and we're going to have a couple of commercials, and we'll be back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment of our program on this Pauhana Friday. And Claire, let's go with another story.
Okay. In Sweden, there has been a leaked police report that there are 23 Muslim-controlled no-go zones plagued with violent sexual assault and gun crimes. And even though European and their U.S. counterparts have denied their existence, this leaked report from the Swedish police confirms that there are at least 23 Muslim-controlled no-go zones and some 60 vulnerable areas where non-Muslim citizens of the country can no longer visit. The areas are plagued with violent sexual assaults, gun crimes, and things have gotten so bad, Michael, that even police and emergency services personnel refuse to go there.
That is serious.
Yeah. And this is the direct result of unvetted immigration and why we have to stop it in its tracks here in the United States.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know. This idea that everybody has a right to just go wherever they want is absurd. And I can show how absurd it is with a simple analogy. Do I have a right to walk into our neighbor's house at any time, into the bathroom where the lady of the house is showering? Obviously, no. And it may seem like an absurd analogy, but yeah, in point of fact, the same thing applies to a nation. If somebody wants to come into the nation with malevolent intent, why should we allow them in?
Yeah.
It's just common sense. Yeah. And this whole globalist New World Order idea, this open border idea, is just absolutely absurd.
It is. And, of course, people like George Soros don't have to deal with the aftermath. They're in their
No,
their
they don't
bunkers.
Care. He's just dreaming of, of the one world government that he will bring about. And he will. There will be statues raised to his memory, and pigeons of the world will rejoice.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is terrible. Sweden used to be one of the safest European countries to go to or vacation in. Not anymore.
Oh, well, thank goodness they've got that liberal feminist government up there doing all this stuff. Remember when Grand Tour was there?
Yeah.
Jeremy Clarkson was just...
Oh, he nailed them.
He was just poking fun at them for the ridiculous things they were doing.
Yeah.
And Sweden... has just allowed more refugees than pretty much any other EU country to come on in. All right, we got about a minute left here, so is there anything else you want to say to our listeners?
Yeah, I want to ask you to please be very kind to yourselves, to be very kind to the people you work with, your friends, your family. We are all dealing with a lot of pressure in our lives, and I know, you know, what Mike and I are dealing with on a daily basis.
You wouldn't believe.
Yeah. But just please try to be kind, try to be loving, be gentle with yourself and the people around you, because one of the things we've seen driving on this rock has just become insane.
There's a lot of road rage out there. When we first came here, everybody was polite, everybody drove slow, and now it is just as crazy as any big city on the mainland, and... the roads are lined with idiot flowers, which are flowers put where some idiot killed themselves and possibly some bystanders.
Yeah.
There's the music. Time for us to get on out of here and try and get something useful done for the rest of the day. We'll be back on Monday here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Please make a point of taking what you learn here, sharing it with everyone that you know. Please make a point of trying to catch History Channel's America's War on Drugs. It's time for the American people to face up to the reality of the government we have in Washington, D.C.
Amen.
We'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones. Please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.